Wow.
There was a problem. Continue.
Does that mean your voice wasn't heard?
So far, my place, and call now. I'm right now. Okay, but the you guys call. It's what I love. Okay. Nick, you there? Well, let's see now. His mic is there.
Is your mic there?
Where do you have your speaker, Laura?
The speaker? There isn't an exact
church. Hey, Nick, there you are.
Hey, how's it
can
going?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I'm using my daughter's laptop. My laptop took a nosedive.
Oh, okay.
I'm here in Florida, just to get you up to speed. I'm
yeah.
on vacation with my four daughters and my wife. And okay. I'm trying to do Blog Talk Radio, which is all volunteer. They don't pay us. So as rotten as a TV and radio guy that I am right now, I still
yeah.
get, I'm still not overpaid.
Okay.
Hey, listen, it's really a pleasure to be on with you. Now, I've learned a little bit about you. Thank goodness for folks giving us information. And
yeah.
my technician here, otherwise known as my daughter, if you can imagine
okay.
what life is like now, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, listen. Now, you're really serious about becoming a football player, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, having said that, there are some things that football players have to do to become professionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we start by discussing with you, while I, at the same time that I figure out how to operate my daughter's computer.
Okay.
There we go. Well, now I have some notes here, and I can actually talk, positively with you. This is a lot
yeah.
of fun, by the way. Here I
okay.
am, a young man, and probably someday I'll be real famous and won't have the time of, to talk to me because you'll be so busy. But before you do that, you got to get there. Now, you're not a big guy, right?
No.
You want to be a receiver. Now,
yep.
Tell us why you think, even at your size, you can make it.
I just feel like the game has changed so much in the last decade or so. You know, everyone used to be oversized, big guys. Everyone's weighing in heavy and stuff, and the game has changed to become more speed-oriented. I mean, the big thing nowadays is speed kills. So, I mean, guys are getting smaller and more agile and faster and that sort of thing. So, I mean, that works to my advantage, I believe. I have the dedication and work ethic to be able to do whatever my body's allowed me to do.
Okay.
So,
now,
yeah.
You've made a lot of great catches. You've run
mm-hmm.
for a lot of yards. You have good statistics that people can check out on the internet, just that they want
yeah.
to know more about you, right?
Yeah.
Now,
mm-hmm.
the thing that interests me more than anything, starting with, this is your draft year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a big year for you.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been easy for you, has it?
No, not at all. It's been a long process.
Especially when you consider that sometimes the rules that you don't realize are there come to bite you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you were with the Guelph Griffins and you decided to transfer schools. And
yeah, well, actually,
problem.
I started at Waterloo and then I transferred to Guelph and then back to Waterloo.
Right. And is that what the problem was?
Yeah, when I was at Waterloo, and then they suspended our program here, like the school suspended our football program, so I had to transfer schools if I wanted to play that next season, and the CIS allowed us to get a free transfer and not sit out, so that's what I did, and I went to Guelph, and I played that season. While Waterloo was suspended, I played at Guelph, and then after that season, I came back to Waterloo, with it being up in the air whether or not I would be able to play again at Waterloo when they had their team back right away. So when I transferred back, it wasn't 100% if I was going to play or not. So we petitioned it and stuff, and it didn't go through. So I ended up having to sit out that next season at Waterloo.
What was that like for you?
Sitting out?
Yeah.
It was brutal. I mean, it was the first season of football that I haven't played since I was 7 years old. So, I just tried to take advantage of it every way I could. When guys are banged up and playing games and stuff, and then they go to practice, I'd go to practice with them too, and then I'd go right from there to the gym. So I was able to, get bigger, faster, stronger during the season when everyone else is trying to stay healthy and play games and stuff. So I still learned from the coaches that we have here and just took advantage of everything that I could.
We're with Nick Anapolsky. He is in the combine with the CFL. He is trying to combine this opportunity with his talent to be drafted as high as he can, drafted at least, but as high as he can, to make it in the Canadian Football League or football in general. Now, we all know that, and you said it already, that, the times have changed. The Argonauts, a team that I, I'm a season ticket holder of the Toronto Argonauts, So I've been able to follow the Toronto Argonauts in a winning season, and I do know for a fact, and I joked with Chad Cackert that he isn't that big. He's a good sport about it. Chad Owens is a very big guy either, and now he's going into MMA. And when I read your resume, it screams out to me the same kind of thing, where you're not a really big guy, but the hope is that your heart is a big part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, tell us a little more about the players that you see out there and who you see yourself, patterning yourself after.
The smaller guys, the guys who can do returns and lots of special teams, gunners on kickoff and stuff like that too. Like the Dressler at receiver, the short, shiftier, slot back kind of guys. I mean, in my university career, I've played mostly wide receiver, but in high school, I played all slot back, and Coach Pow Pow's offense here has a lot of motion and misdirection stuff, so I end up all over the field before the snap of the ball, so just being in a bunch of different positions and stuff, I can relate to guys like, Chad Owens and those sort of guys that you've already mentioned.
Yeah, they get by on will,
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how they get by. Very strong-willed, mentally tough. Do you believe that is your strong suit, and that's what you're hoping, this combine will establish, your toughness, mentally speaking and heart-wise?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I like to pride myself on being the hardest-working guy in the locker room all the time. I'm always trying to put in the extra effort and stuff because I know I have to with my body type and that stuff. So.
Now, what kind of effect does it have on you when you show up? And you got to know when you go to the combine, you're seeing bigger, better players. What do you see that you have to do to basically keep up or surpass them? You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing when you're playing against big guys that don't have as much talent. You know what I mean? And now you're starting to run into big guys with a little more talent. How do you offset that advantage that they start to pick up on you?
For me, I mean, I play the same against everybody. No matter who's lined up across from me, if we're talking about different DBs, I'll play the same against everybody. I do my own thing. I play just with confidence and everything. So, I mean, it's not a big, thing for me to worry about who's lined up against me, how big they are, that kind of thing. I mean, I just play and do what I can.
Now, you had the good fortune of having a coach with a lot of CFL experience, Joe Pow Pow. Tell us a little bit about working under him.
Oh, it's been a blessing to work under him. I mean, he's taught me so much about football in general, organizational skills. Just him, like, being a a leader and everything, and him and his experience and all the stuff he can pass down to us as players has been phenomenal. I've just learned so much from him. Even his son here coaching too. I mean, they just bring so much football knowledge to our program. It's awesome.
Now you've got to be happy, and it sounds to me like you're happy they took the temporary coach label off him.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a big relief for a lot of us guys here. We all pretty excited about it.
Okay, so now you've told us that you can pass, you can catch. Oh no, you haven't told us you can pass, but you do have a history in passing.
Yeah, no, I played about 10 years of quarterback growing up.
And how does that help you in being a receiver?
In my opinion, it's just football IQ. I mean, reading defenses and stuff like that helps you at receiver, knowing when you got to sit down and adjust your routes and that kind of stuff. Just knowing other positions on the field. Being a quarterback also takes a lot of leadership, in my opinion. You got to be able to lead your offense on the field and take over the huddle and that kind of thing.
The point is, a different angle might give you an advantage from the angle that you're actually playing from, right? You see things develop, or maybe, you know, reading a defense is very important to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not for a receiver, but a receiver with quarterback skills maybe reads a defense better, no?
Yeah, no, definitely. And when I played defense in high school too, I played both ways, so I played corner too. And that gives you also another perspective, and you start to learn the techniques and all that kind of stuff for a receiver. So it helps you that way too.
Here's my question for you. Now this is a tough one. You don't have to stick to it, but it is a tough question. Now we've talked about your various skills and that you have a cross section of football skills. Now,
mm-hmm.
Are you having difficulty considering? You have 2 years of eligibility left, right?
Yep.
Are you having any trouble deciding whether you want to focus on either being a punt returner or a receiver or, special teams? What goes through your mind in deciding how? Because, you only have so many hours in the day, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you decide, should I focus on something? Have you made that determination? Are you on your way to making that determination?
I haven't really thought about it a whole lot. I mean, I'm always trying to become a better receiver at this point. I think special teams is something that you can just kind of pick up. I mean, like when I've been doing punt and kick returns, I haven't really practiced it a whole lot. I mean, during practice and stuff, you go back and you can see how you read your blocks and everything. But when it comes down to it and you're doing a punt return in a game, it's kind of instinct. So I'm just kind of relying on that sort of thing that I have.
Well, share with us also, having said that, your opinion of being Canadian and a Canadian numbers game. How does a young player look at that, that cross-section of Americans, Canadians, balance? How do you look at it as a young player?
It's definitely tough. I mean, if you look at the numbers and how many returners are Canadian in the league right now, I mean, it's not too many. So it's slim chances, but, I mean, chances are there. When it comes down to it, they're going to pick the best guy for that position. So if I can be that guy, then that'd be awesome. But if not, I mean, I can focus on being a receiver and put me wherever they want to put me.
Now, obviously, when it comes to learning the game, it doesn't stop just because you've been drafted, and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
stop just because you finish your 2 years of eligibility. The CFL, the better teams, maybe you tell me, do you think the better teams do a better job of teaching their players in the CFL?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, they always learn something new in football. I haven't stopped learning since I started, so I'm always learning something new. Different coaches all have different aspects and different abilities to teach you different things. So I'm sure once I get to the CFL, it'll be a whole new level, a whole new ball game, a whole new book to learn.
All right. Now we've discussed the fact that you're not the biggest, the fastest, the strongest. We've discussed the fact that there are a lot of players nowadays who fit that description. What does a coach give you to help you, or let's say a coach like Pow Pow, to help you to offset, I don't want to call them weaknesses because I don't think that's fair, first of all.
Yeah.
But in effect, how to bring out what you have to give. What are some of the mental ways that that happens for you?
Our football team here at Waterloo is always, we're undersized, and we know that. We're not the fastest team, and we know that too, but we like to pride ourselves on having a lot of heart. So, I mean, having heart and just knowing that we can count on each other and that sort of thing, that'll overpower having a, strength and speed and that kind of stuff, and like size. So Coach Pau, he always preaches us, have heart and, just do your job and hope the guy next to you can do his job. And when you guys all put it together, that's what makes a good football team.
And obviously, Pau believes in you guys. The team, you refer to the team, of course, the team that you played for is the Waterloo Warriors. Tell us a little bit about the Waterloo Warriors and the years that you've spent there and some of the other players that you think maybe some of us will be talking to in the near future, even myself as far as future draftees, some of the better players that you've played with. And by the way, I apologize to any player he leaves out personally because I haven't given them any warning to answer this question. So just like when you accept an Oscar, I know I'm asking a tough question. And please don't be offended anybody, that Nick leaves out. It's not intended. He hasn't had a chance. I just want to make that clear because it's not fair. You're a young player. But I would like to know from your perspective some of the players that you've played for and against that people should look out for.
Our team here right now is we're really young. We've done a lot of recruiting and stuff over the last 3 years. We've brought in a lot of young guys, so everyone's growing up and fitting into the program and stuff. We got young guys, Christian Muller this year, he led the nations in interceptions. He's going to be a guy to watch for next year, too. He'll be at the East-West Bowl this year. We got Harrison Mayer. He was came over from the basketball team, and he played corner for us, and he stood out a lot. Great athlete. He's gonna be a stud corner when he gets older. We're going to the E-camp with Matt Vonk, and me and him have been training together for a long time now. Last 3 months, we've spent more time with each other than anybody else we've ever spent time with. So me and him have gotten really tight, and I'm wishing him the best of luck in everything too. So I'm sure he's gonna get picked on draft day. We got other guys. Our D-line, George Gavrilovic, he's a big guy. He's getting a lot more athletic, slim, and he's getting really finesse kind of defensive player. So he's going to be going into his last year, another big player to watch for as well.
So there are a lot, and again, I apologize if you left anybody out. It's not your fault. It's my fault. You blame me, okay, Nick?
Yeah.
Right. You never gave me a chance to think about this. If at any time towards the end of this interview, if you think of another guy, please throw him in as well.
Our quarterback battle is going to be a good one, too, to watch for next year. So you got Jamie Cook coming back and Brian Chris, both guys who transferred from Guelph, so... both those guys have great ability, and it's going to be a fun battle to watch for them next year too.
Now, a little bit about football when it comes to Ontario. Ontario's a good factory for Canadian Football League players, as is Quebec. Tell us from your perspective. Have you had a chance to play against many of the Quebec teams and players?
No, I haven't actually. All I can do is just read about it, articles online, and watch YouTube videos and stuff like that. I've watched a couple guys' highlight tapes and everything, but other than that, I haven't really had a chance to play against them personally.
But you do know that they have a good reputation, and they're heavy competition to be draft, right?
Oh, definitely.
What do you think of the Western side of the ledger as well? There, you've got BC where a lot of great players come out of BC. Do you know much about them and the competition and the West in general?
Yeah, I only know a couple of players personally from when I was at the East-West Bowl, hanging out with those guys. But for the most part, no. I haven't played against any of the teams or anything. So, but I definitely know there's a lot of talent coming out of there.
The reason I ask is because they are the competition for you. And, the biggest thing in football is reading the playbook and also reading the scouting reports.
Yep.
And so what I'm garnering from what we're talking about here is you're going to have remarks come to draft as high as you possibly could hope. And then you on the field, you know, the opposition facing is anything that you value yourself beating them.
So you're cutting out there. I missed the whole half of that there.
No worries. That does happen from time to time. We're on the I don't position that well, right? So how do you prepare for opposition you don't know?
Sorry, how do I prepare for an opposition I don't know?
Yeah, how do you, like, you know, you're going to be drafted, and if you're drafted, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing that you look forward to? I'm sure the team, if and when they draft you, brings you in and gives you all this information. How do you prepare yourself for this? You're a blank page, right?
Yeah.
And so is the rest of the world, right? How do you prepare yourself for that?
I like to look at it as more like a sponge, and you just got to soak everything in rather than a blank page. So you got to be able to soak everything in, and just it's going to be all brand new stuff. So just being able to take it all in and analyze it all and put in the work to be able to study more. You just got to just be able to study it all on your own time. So take everything that coaches say and everything from practice, and just go home and be able to put in the time to be able to study it on your own.
Okay, which brings me to now we're gonna go back to the beginnings of your football. Mm-hmm. The reason I ask that question is because just like when we all go to school and we start in grade one, go to grade two, go to grade three, it always is a progression, and there's always this, I don't want to use the word fear, but this unknown that you're dealing with advancing to the next level.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning when you started looking back now, because now let's say you're in the midst of your education, right? You're about to graduate, and the hope is that you graduate, you graduate well. When you first started playing football, what attracted you to playing the game?
I first started playing because my brother did. I mean, I always did everything that he did. So when he started playing, I wanted to play. First thing I did was play running back, because I just wanted to be able to touch the ball and, make all the plays and stuff. And back then, when you're 7 years old, you can't really throw too much. So the only way to get the ball was either quarterback or running back. So those are the two positions that I played.
And you were good at it.
Yeah, I was all right.
There's a lot of stories like that with football players who played with old brothers, and they played. It's almost an advantage to be the younger brother, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah,
it almost is. So now, did your brother stop playing football?
After high school, he stopped playing. He played for the Tri-City Outlaws for 1 year. It's like a semi-pro league, but other than that, no.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about can you hang with me for a little while longer? The word is that the people don't listen more than 20 minutes at a time, but we're going to challenge people to listen. I want to say that I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want to thank Jason for all his help getting you on the show. We'll take a short break. We'll be back. And maybe a couple of you guys could maybe call who are out there if you know how to do it.
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on. Be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
I am Ryder Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Ryder Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape, he was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, two world wars, a Great Depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
Well, my friend, that's what you're in for. A little bit of that. Let me ask you about, you said now you learned football, you played, and you played as a running back, and you were good enough that you felt that you had something here that you really wanted to do. Now, having achieved that, you have to be very happy where you ended up. But now you're a kid, and now you go to high school. What's high school football like for Canadian kids?
Definitely not as big as the States, that's for sure. It was a lot different. When I got there in grade 9, some high schools in Canada have junior and senior. Mine didn't. So I was, as a grade 9, I was playing with the grade 12s and the guys doing the victory lap. So, I mean, five years older than me. So you didn't really see much play time in grade 9. So once you got to high school, you kind of had to wait your time. And sort of just like you do at university when you come in the first year, you know, those guys that are 5 years older than you. So you always got to do your time and just learn from the guys ahead of you.
Yeah, that progression is what I was talking about. And in Canada, the progression isn't as I want to find a word here, and I want to make sure I say this right. It isn't as streamlined as it is in the U.S. There are a lot of jagged edges, aren't there?
Yeah.
Explain those jagged edges without. And this is not to what I'm trying to do on this show. You know, just to give you an idea, we care about football in general. This isn't a program about football only with the CFL. It's a program about what it takes to be a football player and try to bring some attention to you guys. And also try to open people's eyes on maybe how they can help make football better in Canada without sounding negative. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to be negative, but any suggestions as to what you see as a way to improve, make it easier for players coming in after you, you know, to the point where you are now, that would be helpful?
The hardest part was coming in and having to watch. I mean, you basically want to play football so you can play and be on the field and make plays and do all that stuff. But when you come in and you're the youngest guy and you're the smallest and you don't have much experience, and the only thing you can do is learn from the guys in front of you. I mean, that's the hardest part. So all you can do is just try and soak it all in. Like I said before, just be a sponge and, you know, take all the knowledge that these guys in front of you have Like I got put behind in my first year university, I got put behind, in my opinion, one of the best receivers I've ever seen play in the CIS is Josh Sveck. And that guy, he taught me so much about football in general, and just learning from him, his route running, his style, the way he carried himself on and off the field, that's made me who I am today and that sort of thing. So, I mean, just learning from the guys ahead of you, and don't get discouraged when you're not on the field the whole time as a young player. I mean, you have time to progress and get bigger, and, you know, you'll fit into it.
So basically, because in Quebec or in Quebec, they've created a football program, if you will, that I think fills those gaps that you're talking about, where mm-hmm. a player gets on the field sooner with players
yeah.
not 5 years older than him, but players half that much, two, three
yeah.
years older than him. Ontario, you know, is a great producer of football players. This is not a negative comment towards football production in Ontario, but it would be nice if you had a little more support, if football had a little more support, you know, between the ages. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in the U.S., there's more of a streamlined progression of players where they don't end up outside their element or, you know, unfairly. You know, due to size and growth, are pitted against players that maybe they shouldn't be playing against, that stunts their progression. This is one of the things that I suppose in Ontario could improve, but this has to do with athletics and you know, the cost of athletics and stuff like that. But it
mm-hmm.
would be nice if some of the better systems that are in place, and this is my political comment now, like, for example, that are in Quebec and maybe even in the West, could be applied here in Ontario. I lost you again, didn't I?
Yeah, just for a bit there.
Well, put it this way. It would be really nice if football was – let me put it this way. It would really be nice if football was more popular in Canada, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It'd
be a little easier. It would be a little easier for players to, you know, advance and get better. It can happen. You know, it can happen. That's why I believe in the game. I think the game has a future. A lot of people
mm-hmm.
may disagree, right? I mean, I'm sure you've heard. What makes you think that there's a future in football? Because you're one of the biggest stakeholders as a player in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just all the different aspects that football has. I mean, it takes into account, you know, the mental part and preparation and the physicality and how you need strength and speed and that kind of stuff. It combines so many different elements of being athletic into one sport. And it's just younger kids are starting to play this game now too. And football taught me so much about just different aspects of life even. I mean, I wouldn't be the person I am today without football. It's gotten me into school, a university. It's gotten me through just a bunch of different things.
It's been very helpful, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, here's a wonderful moment for you. Now you've done high school. Don't worry, Laura, good girl. You made it to high school. You really are beginning to believe that this is a game that has a future for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in Canada, like the U.S., it's not like you get a free education all the time. When it comes to football, right? Those scholarships are not many, right?
No.
Right? So the love of the game is why you're in it, right?
Yeah.
And you want to, and you just want to chase this dream of being a good football player on a good team in the CFL or NFL and have an opportunity. How hard is it? And it's really hard to do something that only you do. You're the only person you can count on. You know, in seven every, I mean, and I'm not putting down the Canadian system, right? you really are on your own for the most part, and like the sponge approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What pride, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. Do you see it for the NFL, NFT championship, your desires motivates you to go?
Sorry, I keep losing you there. I keep cutting in and out.
Okay. What motivates you to continue and to try? What do you see if what you're doing is a rainbow? What's at the end of the rainbow for you?
At this point right now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the backup plan is to come back and play another year at university and finish my education here. I got a couple classes left before I graduate. So I'll do that, and I'll play another season and then give another shot to the CFL. And if that doesn't work out, I mean, playing in Europe's always been a dream of mine, too. I've never traveled. I haven't had time. I mean, I've been in school since elementary school. I haven't had any semesters off or anything. So traveling is something that I wanted to do. So playing in Europe wouldn't be out of the question. And then other than that, I don't know, start the real world, I guess.
I'm just curious because you know, I got to tell you something about the few football players that I've met in the Canadian Football League. There's one common thread going through all of them, and you're not alone. You may not even you may not even realize it yet, but the game is the game of football is so life changing and affecting almost more than any other sport. Where you know you get players that come from places where maybe the not being in football could be of their lives or their futures, right?
Yeah.
To players who love the game just for it being the game. And it's very I don't want to use the word addictive because that's not the right word, but it inspires many people from inside. I really feel as though the game of football is loved by the players so much that it's not about money. And what I'm noticing with Canadian Football League players, even the Americans, they just love playing the game. Why is it?
Yeah.
Why? What is so lovable about the game? Aside from what you've mentioned already.
It's the feeling you get when you're on the field. I mean, there's nothing else like it. And people who haven't played football, they wouldn't understand me when I say it. It's the feeling that you get when you're out there and you're battling and it feels like you're at war. And you're battling with the guys next to you, and you're counting on him to do his job, and he's counting on you to make the play, and being in the huddle with the guys and then breaking it and going out to the line and just knowing what you got to do and scoring touchdowns and catching the ball. I mean, I could sit there and catch a football from my quarterback all day. For 24 hours, I could sit there and just catch a ball. I love the feeling of just catching it. So, and I don't get that feeling anywhere else in life than when I'm playing or doing anything that has to do with football.
Well, you know, I played high school football too, and and I was like, I was a receiver. He's run through guys, and by that I mean between their legs and keep moving. You know what I mean? And when I got hit. Oh, it felt not so good. It wasn't a good feeling. How do you handle the constant punishment?
Sorry?
How do you handle the constant punishment?
Like the physical?
Yeah, the physicality of the game.
Oh, I don't know. I like taking a hit. Like, I love catching the ball and getting hit and just being able to jump right back up when the guy who knocks you down thinks that you're going to stay down and he's all pumped up because he hit you really hard, and then you hop up and give a smile and it freaks him out. That's my favorite thing to do. And I mean, I've had my fair share of, you know, nicks and bruises and all that kind of stuff, but you don't even feel it until after the game's over anyway. So
let me ask you, you got an iPod?
Do I have an iPod?
Yeah
I do.
What kind of music's on the iPod? What's your favorite kind of music?
I got probably 15 different playlists, all different genres. I listen to everything.
Well, that's not a fair answer.
Different types of music for different things that I'm doing. I mean, I got my lifting music. I got my you know, hanging out with friends and music. I got my mellow music. I got music for driving in the car. All different types.
Give me a name of an artist in your mellow list.
On my mellow list?
Yeah.
My mellow list is mostly just country music, and I don't even really know much about country, but I just know, like, there's a Tim McGraw and those kind of guys. So that's more my chilling music.
Okay, now, you're going to, do you go to movies?
Yeah.
What are your favorite movies?
I love sports movies, so it's kind of hard to mess up a football movie, so all the football movies are pretty much my favorite. Action movies are good. Which one did I see recently? I don't even know. But
hey, you know what? You would think. I would think, and this is interesting because this gives me some insight. You would think a simple thing like a movie or a song would be easy to answer, but you handle all the football questions so easily and so automatic. Is it possible maybe that you're so focused into football, you basically the rest of your life is just like, you know, an add-on?
I don't know. I've been so focused on football stuff until after this weekend, I can focus back on other things and stuff like that. And it's just everything's kind of built up to this weekend. So that's all I'm focused on right now is football, and I'm just getting there.
You know, I'm very happy that you took the time to talk to me. And you know, it's not an easy game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Nick Anapolsky, and Nick, I wish you all the best of luck. Hopefully someday we'll see number one catching a pass somewhere in the CFL.
Hopefully.
You know what? I think the dedication and the work will overcome any doubts that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're very focused, and I think that's an asset that cannot.
I hope so.
I think you'll be fine. Listen, thank you again for talking to us, and at the combine. Best of luck at the draft. And if I hear your name called out, I hope when I call you again, you'll answer.
I will.
Hey,
definitely.
Nick, a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Night, and thanks for hanging in for almost an hour.
No worries.
All right, bye.
All right, take care. Bye.
You too. Now, that, of course, as I said, is Anapolsky. And now we've got another call to make. Let's see. Who should we call now? Who should we surprise? This is your life. Anybody else hear that crazy story that's going on? I want to thank Kevin for sending it to me. Now, Kevin, I lost the link. I mean, I have never had so much trouble with the internet. When you go on vacation, it's amazing. Working on Wi-Fi. Now, have any of you seen the story? Argo, the MVP, CFL, Argo. Barker or Coach Milanovic, I'm asking myself, what's he thinking? But you know what? It's his life. And he thinks he can handle it. And his coach, it's funny, you know. Smaller, stronger, faster. Those things defined by Nick Apolsky just a moment ago. Chad Owens has those in spades. He is one tough hombre. And now he's going on to the MMA just to prove that he is a real tough hombre. Now, when we come back, we'll come back and we'll have another prospect to talk to. And maybe you'll stick around. The phone number here is 714-242-5250. We're coming to you live from Orlando, Florida, home of Disney World, which is why I'm here. Because my kids praise all that is Disney. Disney is what Disney is. We'll take a little musical interlude here. And let's see, who should we play? What kind of football music can I have? Oh, you know what? Instead of football music, let's take a little longer break. And I found something a couple of weeks ago on the internet. Mike Richards, TSN Radio, the fan. I am of Mike Richards.
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. No way. Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I fly to D.C. and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong.
Nah, I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
Hello?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself one of those
Concert
Hallway mess jerseys circa 1982. With the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes. And walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want. Because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay. They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it won't make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dunnigan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joel Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Moen, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down! Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo. Just shut up and sing the song, pal.
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
I am Ryder Pride,
the flag bearers of our league,
the spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Rider Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
Thank you.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape, he was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
I love Canadian football. And the only thing I love more than Canadian football is having the opportunity to talk to future great Canadian Football League players. With me now from the Ottawa GGs is Brendan Galanders. Brendan is a 5'11", 210-pound running back. And Mr. Number 120, Mr. 25, is involved in the combine, looking at the draft in his near future. Mr. Galanders, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
My pleasure. My name is Frank, by the way. You can call me sir. You can call me. Hey, listen. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I might as well get used to it for the interviews anyway.
There you go. That's what this is for. This is practice.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the minor leagues, so this is the thing of being in the minor leagues. I'll ask you 2 questions. You can answer them as hard as you want, and it's all to you. Actually, this is all about enjoying the Canadian Football League and, of course, Canadian football players. We support Canadian football, and we want to bring a lot of attention to you guys, and we want to talk to you almost on a personal level to get to know you better. It's really easy to watch. You talk about interviews. You got your 10-minute interviews, and basically it's, you know, who, what, where, and why, and it's over. Well, what we want to know here is we want to get to know Brendan. And Brendan, thank you for being willing to be a guinea pig on one of these first shows. And I'll tell you, I'm impressed by your, wow, you know, you're a leader. That's pretty good. You're the you're an offensive captain?
Yes. Yeah, I am.
And you have made it let's go a little bit at a time. Let's start where we're at right now, and we'll reel back just like we did with our other guest. So here it is now, you're at the combine. What are you trying to achieve at the combine?
At the combine, my main goals are just to show that I compete on the level that they're looking for in terms of a prospective CFL player. I'm not out there to show that I'm any better than anybody else. I'm just worried about myself. And like I said, I'm not going to go out there and compare myself to anybody else. I'm just strictly looking to show that I have what it takes to play in the CFL next year.
And you have had a bit of experience, a little bit of success. I'm not trying to pump you up so I can blow you up. I'm just saying, you know, you did play in the East-West Bowl. You were the offensive captain for your team. So as a leader, you know, a lot of teams in all kinds of sports are always looking for leaders. What makes you a leader? Share with us the qualities that you think make you a leader.
First and foremost, I'd say it's my work ethic. You know, I always try and be the first one into the meeting room, into the gym, and always the last person to leave. I'm not an outspoken leader. I don't raise my voice too often. On the sidelines, it can get heated, but I've always preferred the lead by example approach, just to make sure that I'm doing all the right things and the things that I expect out of the rest of the players on the team.
Now, obviously, you had some success. You're a second-team All-Star, so you definitely have talent and leadership skills. Tell us a little bit about the fun of being picked on the second-team All-Star.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor. Anytime you work towards anything in terms of a season, regardless of the outcome, it's a great honor to be recognized for your achievements, whether it be personal, team goals. Unfortunately, the team didn't go as deep as we wanted to this year, but it's still an honor to be recognized individually as well.
Yeah, you want. Do you think that the team's record has any impact on your draftability?
No, I don't think so. I mean, people might look at our team last year and see that there was a number of problems and a number of factors going into it. But I don't think it will. I mean, like you already said, I think my leadership abilities speak for itself. My individual statistics might not have even been where I envisioned them preseason. And obviously the team goals fell a little bit short. But I don't think it will. I think that the team, first and foremost, will be looking at the film of each individual player, not specifically the record. So I'm not too worried about it affecting anything.
Well, this stuff that we're talking about right here and right now is what, you know, the teams are going to know. They're going to know about your ability to lead. That will be a factor. You are putting back, before you've even finished, taking out of football by developing high school football players. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm actually working for the strength training company that I've been working out with, training for the combine. It's a company called King Football, originally based out of Calgary. They do a lot of work out west with Calgary high school football players, and last year they expanded to the Ottawa region, so I've been lucky enough to work under Joey and King Football as a conditioning coach. Basically, what it entails is strength training, conditioning, speed training, local high school football players, local junior football players, getting them ready for the next level. So I'm always submerged in that competitive atmosphere in the gym. Basically just strength training football players 24/7.
And you're certified?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've been a personal trainer for 2 years. I also have a couple of coaching certifications, working towards the ultimate goal upon graduation of being a strength coach full-time.
And you're an NCCP level 2 coaching certified as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Throughout the university career, I've been able to accumulate a couple of those coaching certifications through classes, actually. And that's something that I definitely always have been interested in and I'm looking to get into upon graduation. I mean, when my time expires in terms of playing football, I'm definitely going to be sticking around and coaching.
I've always known about football players in the Canadian Football League. I'm a little bit older than you. I could be probably your grandfather. and going back historically, I'm almost 60. So So I can look back and reflect and say to myself, yeah, Canadian football players, they have to work as well as play. You don't earn most players. Now, some players, we all know there's always the exception to the rule, and more players rather than less have to have outside jobs. But it never occurred to me that I'd run into someone who's already working on his post-career while he's trying to achieve his career. Do you understand my question?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, exactly. Like, I want to make that clear. Like, playing in the CFL is the first and foremost goal, and I'm going to get there. But, you know, it's strength training, personal training, becoming a strength coach, getting certified, all that good stuff. It's a great supplemental. A lot of the times you're your own boss. I'm working in an atmosphere that I love to be in. I mean, it doesn't feel like a job for me, and it's something that I can do in the off season that keeps my head in off season mode in terms of strength and conditioning. It keeps me submerged in the total football package.
Absolutely, and you know, you're doing double. Well, you're getting more bang for your buck, if I can use that expression, because you're doing double duty. Well, wait, no, that's not right. You're not doing double duty. You're doing half duty, because you're compounding. You know, you're really maximizing your time, because you're doing for your football, for your BD and during football, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like you said, like, it's a pretty good job when you can get all your training for the day in and then not have to get up or move, and you've already got your first couple of clients or high school football players in there ready to go.
Yeah, no, I admire what you're doing, and it really does sound like great planning, and obviously the leadership part of what you have to do has to do with your dedication to the game. When one considers that not only are you playing football, you're also preparing other people for the game of football. And how does that help you with your football? Like, you know, you have your one-on-one with other guys, and does it help you with give you an extra insight into your game and how you can modify your game?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the biggest thing that you learn is how to cope with different learning styles and different ways that people learn. And I mean, for me, it helps a lot, because if I'm not picking something up, if there's a lot to know, it's interesting to see how other guys do it, or how I explain something to three different people. It constantly reinforces the thought process in my head while I'm explaining it to them, because I'm constantly adapting to new ways of saying the same thing, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense, because remember, you're speaking a different language.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're speaking a different language than most people will understand. And you're fine-tuning the communication skills that you need, A, to understand about the game, and B, it's funny, explain it to someone else and then understand their answer to help you. It sounds so stupid, I know, but I think I understand what you're trying to do, and that's what I was trying to point out. And hopefully one or two out of 100 people that are listening right now will understand what we just said.
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the game of football is so mental. It doesn't get the credit that it deserves for being a mental game. And when I say mental,
absolutely,
I don't mean it in a negative sense. You know, it is something that the old brain needs to process. You know, you got your playbooks, you got your plans, you got your teamwork. You know, you got your emotional side, you got control, the physical with the emotion, you know, you got all this stuff going on. Let's put away, let's talk about the stuff that you guys put. Watch the video.
I'm sorry, I just missed that whole last part there.
I'll say, don't worry about it, Brendan. It's all the communication stuff here. I'm gonna stop for a second, let it catch up to me. I got a nickname for you.
Okay.
You ready? Are you ready?
Yep.
This is gonna be stuck to you now. I want to know that this is the rest of your life. You're gonna be known as this. I'm gonna call you Stutter Step.
Or Stutter SS. Step.
Yeah. I love your Stutter Step when you first begin to run. You take that first step, then it almost looks like you're looking to see where you need to go next, and you're basically doing that, you know, that robot thing where you take all the information, and now you know you're gonna run left, right, or right down the middle, or you're gonna
Okay, I think I got the most of that part, but yeah, I mean, in Ottawa U, like, we've been a zone running team the whole time I've been there, which was a big change. It was a big learning curve, as opposed to a man blocking schemes where you get the ball, you know where you're going. Pre-snap in the zone schemes, it took a while for me to be patient, and I guess somewhere along the way I developed a stutter step that you're talking about, because it helps me see the field. I mean, I've always, dating back to high school, I've always been told that I've got excellent eyes, which I guess helps me a lot in zone blocking schemes, so I'm able to see a lot of the cutbacks, a lot of the outside runs, a lot of the small little holes that I can get through that most other running backs that are going at too quick of a pace or aren't used to running in a zone scheme that they can't even see.
Because you do have the ability to shake off hits and avoid them just before you're going to be hit, which is really good. That's an excellent quality. It's the quality that gave Chad Cackert the job and lost Corey Boyd the job. You realize that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that the ability to shake off a tackle and to keep thing after you get hit is a very important, you know, tool in your arsenal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just developed that naturally. You say just as a, it was just something that you, it came naturally to you?
Yeah, it did. I'm not going to lie, it's not really something that I've ever practiced. I mean, I've always been told why take a hit when you can avoid it, in terms of preserving the longevity of your career, right? The less hits, the better. And I guess it's something that has always been in my game. I feel like I've got the strength and the power to run through guys, but the majority of the time, if I can avoid a tackler altogether, I will. And that also, at the same time, I mean, it allows me to make a lot of quick turns and keep my pace throughout the whole run, as opposed to having to run through three guys to get the same amount of yards.
Yeah, to find the opening, if you find it sooner rather than later, it's better.
Yeah, absolutely. We are always taught that in zone running schemes, you make one cut, and it's normally going to happen about three yards from the line of scrimmage. So your eyes have to be fast. We always, the running back coach at the University of Ottawa that I worked with, for the last 3 years, pretty much his mantra was quick eyes, patient feet. And over the years, I mean, it's something that when you're repping it day after day, you get good at it. But it's something that does take a while to get used to.
You know what doesn't take a while to get used to?
What's that?
Not losing. Right? That doesn't take to get used to. So here you are. The team's a bit of a rut. You obviously go through a little bit. Coach ends up going. And then you come to my hometown and have the nerve and the audacity to run for 3 touchdowns in 1 game. Explain that. How was that day for you?
It was good. it felt good. The last 4 games of this season was when everything pretty much started to click on offense. And unfortunately, it was a little bit too much too late. But the last 4 games of the season were all really great statistically for everybody on the offense. We started moving the ball a lot better.
And that's an important thing. You know, we're with Brendan Galanders, Ottawa GG's prospect for the draft this year with the CFL. I don't know if I'm putting words in his mouth, but, you know, it might be nice to get drafted by Ottawa this year. What do you think?
I'd love it. I love it. I love the city. So,
it would mean that you basically have to sit out a season because they won't be fielding a team this year. But you could also still go back. How much eligibility do you have left in college?
I've got one year left.
All right. So then that means then that if you're drafted by Ottawa, you could always go back and play for the GGs. And then be ready to go for the Ottawa whatchamacallits. That's what I call them. I hear they're going to be red-black, but I just call them the whatchamacallits for the heck of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess nothing's official. A couple of names have been floating around.
Yeah, tell us what it's like to play football in Ottawa when fell in. Has the excitement reached the Ottawa University?
Ottawa, to me growing up, Ottawa's always been a huge football community. I mean, we've got NCAFA, one of the largest amateur football associations in Canada, where I actually came up through a program in NCAFA. But it gives us a huge fan base. I mean, I remember as a kid watching the Renegades when they were here, and from what I remember, the stands were always packed. And when we were playing at Lansdowne, our regular attendance was between 4,500 to 5,500 people. So we were filling the stands, the one side of the stands, I guess, as well. So the support in Ottawa is tremendous. And I mean, with us getting a pro football franchise, as well as Carleton returning to the CIS next year, I think it's only going to do great things and increase the fan base in Ottawa for sure. Competition's definitely picking up. It's great.
I'm looking forward to the team being back in, and I'm a proponent of bringing a team in Quebec and also a team from the East Coast. So part of the thing is, though, we have to we have to let people have to know how great a game the Canadian football game is. You know, the CFL is a very exciting league. It's underpriced in my opinion, but when better to watch Canadian football than when it's underpriced? There's a lot of excitement and there are a lot of talented players, one of which is you. And I really admire the determination that football players have. You'll be joining a good group of men, and they are very dedicated to their game. And I always ask this of a young player and even a veteran player, even one that plays in the CFL. What attracted you to the game you when you started? What got you going? What really started your pumping football?
That's interesting. There's a lot of ways you could answer that. For me, it was a couple things, I think. One, the team atmosphere is definitely something I had never been around before. I played baseball when I was young. I played hockey until I was 15 years old. But even then, the camaraderie, the friendships that you make with members on the football team is something that I think is unrivaled in any sport. And aside from that, the fact of the matter is football, like you said before, is mentally challenging. It's mentally challenging. It's physically challenging. It's emotionally challenging. And I kind of picked up the challenge and ran with it. I fell in love with the intricacies of the game. I fell in love with the physicality of the game. And from that point on, I haven't looked back. I've tried to develop all those abilities that it takes to be a great football player.
You know, we're going to talk a little more about youth football traditions.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Okay. I could be a few minutes for a break and back.
Yep, sounds good.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape. He was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a Great Depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
Well, that wasn't nice. And talking about beating the Argos. That's terrible. So, Mr. Galander, you started out as a kid. You talked a little bit about players. It's about your youth football.
Talk about the youth football?
Yeah, your youth football.
Okay, sure, yeah, no problem. So I started football for the Cumberland Panthers. Here it's an organization in Orleans, Ottawa, part of the NCAFA league, obviously. And I started right at their youngest age group at the time, I believe. It was when I was 8. So I've been in the game for a long time. I went all the way up through that organization, playing it through high school as well as high school ball. I played in the OVFL for the Cumberland Panthers, as well as I participated in the U17 Canada Cup for Team Eastern Ontario. And from there, it was just high school football until I became the running back of the University of Ottawa.
Now, look back at the way football works where you're from. Are there any other things that you see game football that begin football for an Ottawa guy and an Ottawa, you know, organizations? What kind of help do you think they could use? I'm not talking about millions and millions of dollars here. We're talking about maybe just an insight from your perspective as a player and a leader that you've discussed in the Ottawa area.
I mean, equipment, first and foremost, is probably the most important thing. I'd say that the clubs and the organizations need to make sure that they've got good, up-to-date equipment for all the young guys, especially regarding helmets. And aside from that, the only other thing that I'd say would be coaches and funding within public high schools. Comparing them to Catholic high school football programs in Ottawa. Typically in Ottawa, the Catholic high school football programs are the dominant programs. And the majority of that is because of the coaches that they have, as well as the access to the funding for the football programs. So things like fundraisers, volunteer coaching, and proper equipment in the Ottawa region, I think would really help. But aside from that, a lot of the organizations here are very strong and doing very well.
Now, from a selfish perspective, so now if I were to ask you to describe in a sentence what makes you such an attractive draft for a prospective CFL team?
Versatility. I'd say first and foremost, I truly believe that I could contribute as a running back. I truly believe that you could walk me out and I could contribute as a slot back. And I think that you can also use me on special teams, running down the field on kickoff, punt, and even running down the field and blocking on punt returns. So the versatility in my game, my size, my speed, my strength allows you to put me on the field at multiple positions.
And this is a question, again, that I will continue to ask young players like yourself. And remember, this is the Cat Awards. We're going to thank everybody where you are right now. But now here's the part I want to ask you. And that is, give me some other names out there, some players that you see on the horizon, either on your team or guys that you played against, that football fans are looking for. And on your behalf, because if you miss anybody, okay, my fault. Talk about it.
Okay, I think I caught the gist of that. I'll start off with my own team, with another player that's going to be at E-Camp with me, Simon Lemarquin. He's going to do very well at the combine. I know he's already talking to a lot of the guys in the CFL. Unfortunately, he was hurt for a little bit of this year, which kind of led to a lack of production in the stats. But the last 2 years, he's just been absolutely unbelievable. He's probably caught more balls than the upper half of the CIS. And I think that he'll do really well, especially in the one-on-one and the individual drills at the combine. If I had to say one person, other person that I've been impressed with, it would probably be, I'll give him a nice shout-out, Matt McGarva from Windsor. He's a defensive back. They use him all over the field. And the reason why I'd single him out is because every time we've played Windsor, he's made his presence felt, and I've been impressed with him. But from a player standpoint, playing against him, he's a tough guy, and he's a heck of a player. So I'm looking forward to see how he does. He'll also be at E-Camp with me this year.
Okay. Listen, I won't be asking too many people. I'm going to ask you because you seem to be more of a heads-up kind of football player. Can you define for me the difference between the Canadian Football League and the National Football League, in your opinion?
Difference. You know what? In the CFL, it's a faster tempo, I'd say. It's funny now because you see all the NFL, the college teams with longer play clock going to a more of a hurry-up offense, trying to get the plays off quickly. And it's funny because them trying to do that fast actually resembles the normal pace of a CFL football game. I mean, how fast the action comes at you, the speed of the decisions, as well as the open field, I find like you, it makes it a lot more exciting. Just because with that extra room, with the lower play clock, with the plays happening faster, you have to make your decisions a lot faster, and that makes for a very exciting game.
It does. I totally agree with you, but I disagree with you, I guess.
I'm sorry, what?
I agree. My guest wouldn't have the gall to disagree with you. Actually, you speak exactly like people who listen to the program know how I feel about the CFL. And that's exactly it. It's a quicker game, a little more fun to watch. And live, it's not as, I don't know. That's the one thing about the Canadian, because of the bigger football field, I don't think the television does justice, in my opinion.
Exactly. Just, yeah. All you got to do is ask a corner in man coverage how big the football field is. He'll tell you.
He'll tell you. He'll be breathing too hard. Brendan, it's a real honor to talk to you. And I hope when the time comes and you get drafted, you're a big star at the CFL, and I call you, you may remember me just a little bit enough to answer the phone.
Hey, you don't have to worry about that. I promise you that.
Well, Ottawa GGs, offensive captain, great talent, and we wish you all the best in your future. And all kids, it's really a lot of fun talking to you and enjoying this conversation.
Thanks a lot, Frank. It was great talking with you.
My pleasure. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back after this. A little musical interlude.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape. He was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, two world wars, a Great Depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
Every time I hear that, I just want to laugh. I tell you what, I like those commercials so much, I'm going to play another one. You ready? Here it is.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Well, I'm going out for a walk here. Orlando's a nice place. Well, you know, everybody's asleep. All the condos are... The lights are out, except for the one that I'm supposed to be in. No, that one, the lights are still on. So the old Fang Damily is waiting for me to get back here. So I got a few more minutes to go here, 18 to be exact. I'm not sure how many of those minutes. Here's how we're going to talk about it. I'm going to give you a little piece of advice when you come to Orlando, Florida. And here's my advice. Don't pack so many clothes because you're not going to use them all. And when you go to the border and you buy some beverages to drink, keep in mind, you're only here for 2 weeks. You can't really drink that much. You're not used to it. You can go through a couple of gallons of water really easily. The border is nice. You know, these gated communities with these hot tubs and swimming pools, the listening, just listening to children's laughter in the pool, it's refreshing. And it is a wonderful experience. One thing, though, you let your Disney-loving kids schedule what you're going to do over the first 10 days of your stay in Florida. Bring your credit card. That's a big mistake because letting you know going to Universal every other day because you're going to Disney every other day. And you do a lot of walking and a lot of exercising, so much that you wish that you were on one of those one of those things with Brendan. And I could probably use Brendan's skills in managing my physique, which at my age and size is a stupid statement because I ain't got no physique. But what I can tell you is this, it's been fun. We've got another day or two left, and it's been a true challenge to put together a program that can air in people's minds back home in Toronto, Mississauga area. And for those of you that have been following the program, I'm going to give you a deep thank you. I can't believe how many of you, even though I'm not promoting the show because I'm down here and I don't have access to internet and it's been a real tough challenge, how many of you actually listen to the program without my phone? For that, I am eternally grateful. And for that, I promise you, I'll pay you back by trying to do the best I can to put together a program that you find interesting and different. The challenge we have, of course, in making this program different is that the Canadian Football League has it has some things that make it difficult to sell. Not the game. The game is hard to sell. All you have to do is go to the game and sell itself. But sometimes I think the CFL has been, in some ways, may inadvertently be repeating the same mistakes that they made many, many years ago. some at the CFL are under the misinterpretation of reality, and that is this, is that getting the players that getting games out there and taking advantage of everyone who wants to talk about the CFL. When I started this, nobody believed that we could do a program about the CFL in the last season. I think we've done it, and Canadian football to boot. We think we can do it. And when I say we, I mean people who are doing programs like this now. I count three that are in the works, and I hope they all have a lot of success. The CFL is a great game. The CFL is its own worst enemy. There's nothing wrong with releasing players to talk to the fans. There's nothing wrong with spreading the word. Back in the day, I've explained that I'm a little older and have a little bit of a history with the CFL. The undoing of the CFL, as we talked to one of our historians, was that the CFL figured that they didn't need to be on television, that they didn't need to put the word out there. Their gate was what drove them. It was true up until the late 70s, maybe middle 70s. But ever since then, if you're not part of media, you're not part of mainstream media. And that's just simply a shame, because the CFL is a great league. This past, the Toronto Argonauts won the 100th Grey Cup, a team that's 140 years old. Oldest football franchise in America. And they did it in style. They did it at home. And they did it in front of their fans, of course. So for those of us that love the game, let us meet these guys. Let us get to know these guys. It's important that we know who they are, because they'll sell again. I learned quickly how wonderful the men and women of the game are and how much they love the game. Give them a chance to share it with everybody else. And trust me, the game will become big again. It may not be the NFL. It may not be the NHL. But in Canada, it can compete with baseball. It can compete with basketball. It could be easily number two or three in Canada when it comes to sports. I don't think there's a bigger game that Canadians like to watch more than the Grey Cup. And I would include even the Stanley Cup in that. The Grey Cup is an institution. I want to say something else. None of this was scripted. This comes from the top of my heart. With keep pulling for you. I'll keep doing this show with guys like Jason, John, and everybody else who pulls for Jeff. This will be a great league, and it will have great history, and it will continue. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk about Chad Owens. MMA? You got to be kidding. Are you serious? Is that what he's doing?
Just a great initiative. As you'll see from my talks on stage, I've had a lot of experience with it, both being the victim, the bullier, and being the bystander as well. So it's affected my life in a big way, and I like to take every opportunity I can to get out and try and raise awareness for it and prevent others from going through the same stuff I had to go through. It's been very therapeutic for me, coming out and just opening up, letting everybody know what I've been through. It's been very good for me, and also knowing that after some of the talks, when we sit around and we get to talk to some of the kids and hear their stories, and when we're able to put them in touch with the right resources and help them through their problems, it's you can't explain the the satisfaction you get from doing things like that. Stand up and say, hey guys, that's enough. You're going to change a lot of people's lives and you won't even know it. So, thanks guys.
And was a bully, and it's not easy to get unbullied. Once you're bullied, it just continues. It is something that never ends. Joe is trying to do his best with the Toronto Argonauts, and it's one of the things that CFL teams do. They reach out into the community. It's very easy to be bullied, and anyone who's been bullied in their lives knows what it's like to be bullied, knows the signs, and knows that it ain't good. And you'll find that most of us that have been bullied fight really hard when it comes to bullies and take very seriously the pain that it causes. And, you know, just stop. The only way to stop it, folks, is to really care about it and to really care about young people whose lives hang in the balance, as we've learned through history. Well, you know, there'll never be a time better than now to put on another commercial so that, let me see, what one do I want to put on now? You know what? This guy deserves it. You know, what can I say? I'm an Argo season ticket holder.
Congratulations, Coach. How does this feel?
Feels good. It's something that I share with our organization, our coaching staff, and our players, but it was a great year for us. It was a magical year that ended on a nice note.
You mentioned your players. How much of an impact did they have in your role as a coach and getting you to this point right now?
Well, they had it's a player's game, and we always tell them that. They're the ones that sell the tickets. They're the ones that people want to watch. They don't want to hear me talk, and they're the ones that make this happen. The assistant coaches are behind the scene, and they're organizing the whole thing and getting them in the positions to be successful, but this game's all about the players.
What do you think separated you from the other two finalists?
I think either one of them were more than deserving. What Coach Hofnagel did, with Kevin Glenn for majority of the season, I thought was amazing. Mike Benavides having to follow in Wally's shoes, that's as tough as it gets. And he did it with class, and they were a dominant team all year. So I think this could have gone to anybody.
100th Wake Up Champs. You got a new contract. What's next for Scott Milanovic and the Toronto Argonauts?
We're just going to get back to work and try to get our guys ready for that first game.
What are some of the challenges you face heading into 2013?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be change in your roster. We've lost some guys. We've picked some guys up, and just finding that mold that we found last year and where guys fit and what's the best way to utilize them. It always takes time.
Is there any pressure for you to repeat?
For me, there's always pressure to win the Grey Cup. That's our goal, and I don't worry about the fact that it's a repeat. I mean, it's another year, another chance to win a Grey Cup. So we focus on the day-to-day job that it takes to get there in November. So we'll worry about that when the time comes.
Thank you, Coach.
Scott Lunch, Coach of the Year, Grey Cup champ. Well, let's see now. I promised you we'd talk about Chad Owens. Chad Owens. Those tattoos looked good, let me tell you. It's amazing. So, that's what Chad Owens is doing. No. Wow. There's a lot you can say about an athlete getting into MMA. Mixed martial arts, very popular. Everybody loves it. Rogers, whatever, helped make it legal. They have a lot of interest in those kinds of things. Now, is it because of the danger of the sport? Is it the popularity? Things for Chad Owens to do, as he said in press release, to keep himself busy in the off season, something to do in the off season. Is he concerned about being injured? Not at all. It's not something he thinks about. Is it something management at the Toronto Argonauts may concern themselves with? Always. I mean, there are clauses in Pierre's contract today that will void the contract if they get on a skidoo. So, you know, there are financial ramifications for taking risk. Risk and reward is the question here for Chad Owens. He believes the risk of being in MMA is smaller than the reward that he could get. And it's his life, and he gets to decide what he does in his life. But as an Argo fan, I hope that everything that happens with the MMA is positive for him. But I do worry as a fan for him. But I have no desire to change his mind or to even have any impact on anyone else's mind on whether he should do it or not. Because quite frankly, like a lot of things in life, we may not like it, but it's none of our business. It's his decision. It's his decision as far as his contract is with the Toronto Argonauts. And they'll work it out. But you know what? When I see him on that screen, MMAing it, I'm going to be rooting for him. I don't know about you, but I will be rooting for him. Well, it's been a wonderful night, and almost 2 hours today. And we had two great guests. We do know now that the future of Canadian football is in good hands. We met two great kids who are going to work hard to prove themselves. And they're just two of many. And as far as football is concerned, I think it's in good hands. And next week we'll be talking to Joe Appel. We'll just have to confirm. Once a month we'll have an Argo on here, and I'm going to try and work out getting once a month maybe players from other teams. Don't know how possible that is for an Argo fan to do that, to accomplish that. But maybe if I tell them I'm a CFL fan more than I am an Argo fan, maybe they'll bite. One thing's for sure. One of the things I want to do is do an update with Saskatchewan and work towards a countdown for the Grey Cup, because Saskatchewan's going to be hopping in November. You heard Scott Milanovic. His team will be focused on getting there, as will the other teams in the CFL. Also, this year will be the draft year for, as we mentioned before, the Ottawa Rough Riders, reincarnation as either the Red Blacks or the Whatchamacallits. They will be playing, once again, in Ottawa. They'll be playing CFL football, and it begins with the draft this year. Now, they will not be playing this year, but they will be drafting this year. So we can look forward to that, and to all the Ottawa fans who have been waiting patiently for the team to arrive. It's getting closer, and you'll have a great time, I know, when the time comes. Well, it's been a great day. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. The name of the show is Candid Frank Live, and also streamed by Rouge Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We hope to hear from you again next time, here on the Candid Frank Live Show.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone. Don't, yeah, yeah.